Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
For the past 24 years of mine and Kyla's marriage, we have not, with the exception of the very first 8 months that we got married, we have not lived in the same town as family. When we first got married, we moved back to my hometown of Tumbler Ridge, BC, which is where I grew up after we had left Newfoundland. So some people think, well, I thought you were a Newfie. I am a Newfie, but it's that we moved out there, and I moved there when I was, almost 12 years old, and that's kind of what I now consider my hometown. And so after we got married, we went there, and I brought my new wife into a town that had my family, my friends, my memories. Everything about it was mine. And I mean, she tried so hard to integrate and get into the family or into my friends and everything. But it was a very difficult thing for her to get acquainted and adjusted. And some of you may be familiar with that, even moving here to the valley, right? Because I mean, if you've lived here in the valley, many people that I meet have lived here for many, many years. They've got established communities. They've got friends that they've had for years. They've gone to high school here. So they've got a large support network around them. We have a lot of military families. So with that, you think that it would be quite transient, but the military families are quite close. So what's fortunate for Kyla and I as we moved into this town is that we had a pre-existing family that we were able to come into. We were adopted by you. And in that adoption process, it's what a family is saying, we want to take you and we want to bring you into our family. So in essence, you're saying, we choose you. So do you realize that it was exactly 1 year ago today that we stood here and you voted to bring us in? You said, yes, we want those crazy verges to come and be a part of our family. So it has been a year. And what a year it has been. Amen? Amen. We've had some good times. There's been some challenges. But overall, we're still happy with your decision. I hope that you're still happy with your decision. But at the end of that service, Pastor Ken came to us to share with us the results of the vote. And the thing is just like you had a choice to make whether or not you wanted us to be a part of your family, we too had to make a choice. So he walked into the room, he shared with us the results of the vote, and he says, okay, so what is your response? And we as a family had to make a choice. Okay, you know, it's only been a weekend. We've gotten to know a few people. Is this where we believe that God is calling us to? And we as a choice made the decision that yes, we want to be a part of this family as well. So we're coming with our own crazy stories, our own unique journeys, and we realize that we have the opportunity to join a family that likewise has crazy stories and have been on very unique journeys. Anybody here got a crazy past? But we're redeemed, right? We've been set free. We don't live in that past. Because let's face it, and this might burst some of your bubbles, none of us here are normal, right? Normal, as I've been told, is simply a setting on a dryer. That's all that it is. So none of us are normal. But the church is often referred to as a family. There were years ago where we used to sing this song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Anybody know that one? I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with, as we travel this, I'm so glad I'm a part. There we go. Now, if I had a piano player, she could just ding, and we could sing that, but we're not going to do that. But here we are with this great big family, full of all of our idiosyncrasies. Unlike when we moved to Tumbler Ridge, where Kyla was tossed into the mixture of my childhood memories and my childhood friends, my friends did not have to love Kyla. They didn't have to. They were not compelled to love her. But here, we were tossed into this family, and Jesus says, you must love him. But the same thing is true for me. I must love you. Are we the perfect family? No. But we are family, right? And that makes you want to start singing.
We are family.
Come on, Shelly, you were doing it earlier. I often wonder how people who live outside of a church, who live outside of a community environment, how they survive. This might come as a shock to you, but I'm actually a bit of an introvert by nature. I do actually like my times of solitude, but I also like knowing that there's somebody there that I can go and hang out with. I like knowing that there's a group of people that I can get together with simply because sometimes I need a break from me. Right? Do you ever feel that? Like you just need a break from you and everything that's going on inside of your head. So you go and find other people to give yourself a break. But what does it mean to live in community? What does that look like? Back in January, we looked at a series and we talked about community and relationships and discipleship. And we discussed all of this. Life in community is a place where we're able to be encouraged. A community is a place where you know that you're loved and you can be loved. It's a place where you can have fun and you can laugh together. And this afternoon, we're going to have the opportunity as we see people trying to get down the field in these sack races or people with their legs tied together and literally dragging somebody down the field. Come on, I got to get that. I got to be the winner here today. We don't have any competitive people in this place though, right? None whatsoever. But what is missional community? This is a group of about 20 to 50 people who are like an extended family doing mission together. This will consist of groups, different parents, children coming together, all being a part of this larger family. It's kind of like when you get together and having all of the siblings and all of the cousins come together. They do life together. I've been working through a couple of books, one called Jesus-Shaped Life and the other one called Empowering Missional Disciples. And these books have helped me to understand what it means to be on mission together. Living missionally involves getting outside of these four walls and into the community. Last week, we saw a video of the Emmanuels over in India. And we heard the story of how they ministered and they were able to lead their parents to Christ. And from there, they started with, you know, it was just them. And then they had their parents. And 13 years later, they have a group of over 1,000 people in their church. And we think, wow, that's amazing. Do you believe that God can give us and bring, that this church could be a church of 1,000 people? Do you believe that? Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I kind of like the size that we are because I can get to know people. But what would it look like if, say, for example, and I'm just casting it out there, we had a campus of this church up in Royston, in Cumberland, in Black Creek, over in Courtney, and we were all a part of the body of Christ, and together, collectively, we were a church of over 1,000 people. I believe that's possible. Do you? Amen? And I believe that that's what God is calling us to do. We are called to go and to make disciples. But as we know, you can't do it alone. It takes two people to create a family. Do you believe that? Okay, good, because I was afraid I might have to do another series if you didn't understand that whole concept. I'm not into those series. But we're called to be fruitful, to multiply. Multiplication can only happen if there's more than one person involved. We need two people for multiplication to happen. Through this series that we're walking through now called Can You Hear Me Now? The two questions that I've been asking you are this. What is God saying to me, and what am I going to do about it? Think about this for a moment. What if the normal culture of our church was a place where every single person hears what God is saying? What would this look like? Every person regularly is seeking God, listening to his voice, and we're moving in the direction that God is calling us to. I'm talking about taking the time to sit, to discern what God is saying. This means stopping and listening to his voice and his voice alone. It's very easy to start and engage in a conversation with somebody else and come up with this grandiose idea. But the thing is, and even at the end, it's like, oh, well, I guess we should move that. Unless God is in the plan, it's not going to move forward. Right? We need God's intervention. We need God causing this to happen. I'm not into artificial insemination. We need God conceiving it in our hearts. Do you believe that? Our ideas, our plans, the direction that we are going, it has to be ordained and orchestrated by God. And that involves us taking the time to sit, to listen, and to discern. God, what are you saying? Recently, after our AGM, we had a position come available because, as you know, on our leadership council, we have 4 members that are elected, 3 that are appointed. And what that is the leadership council, they will meet and they will decide who that person is going to be. And so before we had come into the next meeting, I had sent out the instructions to the leadership council. And I said, I want you to take some time to pray and to discern. Don't talk with other people. Don't talk with other members of the leadership council. Listen to God's voice. And who is God speaking to you and saying, this is who I want you to ask? And when we came together at our next meeting, I handed each person a slip of paper, and I said, I want you to take that name and write it on the piece of paper, and I want you to pass it to me. And every single person in that room wrote down the name Dave Stubbs as our next leadership council member. That is Holy Spirit. There was no division. All of the ballots, I'm turning them, Dave Stubbs, Dave Stubbs, Dave Stubbs. So Dave Stubbs is the newest member of our leadership council. He's right up here. So just like other members of our leadership council, if you have any questions about what's going on in the church, please don't hesitate to talk to any of them. You can talk to me. We work together as a team. But in the answer, you believe you're hearing from God on what you believe he's saying, are you taking the time to discern? Whatever environment you find yourself in, whether it's your family, your life group, your missional community, the culture we hope to see being developed is one that is standing secure, one that's taking the time to listen and to act, and then to stand secure knowing that this is what God is calling me to do. So as we look into our passage this morning, I'm going to invite Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts. And God, I pray that you would open up our ears, open up our hearts to hear your voice this morning, to discern. Your sheep know your voice. And I pray that every person that's in this place would take the time to hear and to know your voice and to move in the direction. Not just to sit and I hear God saying and I hear God saying, but taking that and saying, I hear God saying and this is what I'm doing. This is what God is instructing me to do. So Father, I pray that our hearts would be open to hear from you this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. This morning we're going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So if you have your Bible apps, looking for NLT. And we're going to start at verse 9. It's also going to be on the screen for you above. So starting to read at verse 9. The first statement says, don't just pretend to love others. Do we have it, Kyla? Oh, is it showing? Oh, I can't see what's happening. I'm looking at something different. Sorry. Don't just pretend to love others. Now, as I often do, let's just hit pause, and we'll do this throughout this passage. We have this art, or we have this thing in our society today where there's a lot of pretending going on. And you probably see this when you're sending a text message. And so somebody will make a comment, and then you'll either see the hands coming together like they're praying. My question is, are they really praying? When they send that message and they do the little happy face or the tears running down the face like they're laughing out loud, are they really laughing out loud? Right? You know, when the whatever emoticon that they're using, I'm wondering, is that really what's going on, or are they just simply pretending that's what's going on? So continuing on. So don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Our calling as Christians is to love people, not to judge them. But Chad, what they're doing is wrong. It goes against Scripture. I understand that. To love them does not mean that you're condoning their behavior. As a person, you have a choice to love them. Loving them doesn't always necessarily mean that we're pointing out every single wrong thing that we're doing. We're not, and you've heard me say this many times, and I stole this, we are not Holy Spirit Junior. How about hating the one who has deceived them? Why don't we get angry at the devil? Right? The devil is the one who's come along and planted this deception, and they've allowed that to take root. And what's happened is they're now suddenly believing that this is the truth. The enemy has deceived them. Continuing on, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So as we unpack this passage this morning, this first portion that we've just read, I want you to look at that. Like, this is kind of instructions, and this is the way that we operate as our immediate family, which I'll unpack as we go further into this message. So then continuing on, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. What is our response when we're called upon to do the work of the Lord? Is our first thought, oh, God, I'm just too busy. You know, I've got a golf game, and I've got to play Fortnite, and I've got my Minecraft thingy, whatever it is, to build, and I got my shows on TV, like my PVR is getting filled up. I need, God, I'm just way too busy. Are we serving the Lord enthusiastically? Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. This isn't just necessarily the benevolent needs in our church. Every single person is a child of God. They might not be in a relationship with Him yet, but God has created them, and He's calling them into relationship. And if He's put them into your path, He's put them there for a reason. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So again, this little portion of the scripture, I'm looking at as like this is our extended family. So stay tuned. We're going to look at the whole family in general. It continues on. It says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. So for example, some of you are friends with me on Facebook, and you'll see me posting pictures of me out paddleboarding, or I'm out at Tree Island having dinner with friends, or I'm hiking a mountain. And you might think to yourself, wow, that guy's got a rough job. I wish I had that kind of job. Well, every single place of employment comes with perks, right? Some of you get really large paychecks. Some of you get tons of days off. Some of you get sent all over the world. Some of you get to do all sorts of adventurous things. I get the opportunity to spend time in God's creation with God's people. I get to build a relationship with them. And this past Thursday morning, I got to catch my very first big salmon. That was quite something. Thanks to my famous tour guides, you know, I'll know them quite well, but I'm not allowed to talk about that because we are doing official business. But it was amazing. And the thing is that when you're out in creation and you're out doing these things with people from the church, you get to hear what's going on. When you're in their place of where they live, they get a lot more comfortable. If I were to say, oh, come into my office so we can sit, they're not going to be as open with you. They're not going to be as vulnerable. They're not going to be talking with you the way that they would as if we're out hiking or fishing or paddleboarding. So when we see people doing these things, instead of saying, oh, must be nice, let's celebrate the fact that they have the opportunity to be able to do these things. Amen? Amen? Perfect. So be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. and don't think you know it all. We are all ordinary people invited to do an extraordinary work for God. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. The world wants us to pay evil for evil. Live a life that is honorable, and God will honor you. Are we living in peace with everyone around us? So as we look at this, this is life as the greater family. So as we take this journey today, what I want you to do is I want you to look at this in this way. So we have the immediate family. Those are those close relationships you have, that one-on-one relationship. This might be your spouse, your children, your accountability partner. The extended family is kind of like your life group. If you're not currently in a life group, my hope is that maybe by the end of this, you'll be thinking, I need to get into a life group. But the extended family is kind of like the grandparents and the other siblings. And then you have the greater family, which is all of us here collectively. This is the church family. So again, if you were at a family reunion, this would be the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, the in-laws, the outlaws, everybody coming together. So, for example, if you're here for the very first time this morning and you're checking us out, we want you to know that we love you. We're not looking at you as in-laws and we're thinking, okay, do you think that this person's going to be a good fit? No, right from the moment you enter in through those doors, we love you and you are a part of this family, and we invite you to join us for this picnic immediately following the service. So what would be the outcome of a culture in which everyone hears? Taking that a step further, what would be the culture of our family, the immediate, the extended, the greater family be here in the church? So as we take the time to listen to God, I believe that God, through this passage, he's helped me to see experiences that have outcomes. So the first outcome we'll experience is living from the heart of God. So what does that mean as disciples of Christ? What does it mean to live from the heart of God? It means that you love. God has not called us to judge. He's called us to love. You love without pretending. Are there some people that are a little bit easier to love than others? Absolutely. You've probably all got those people. It's like, Jesus, give me the strength today because I know that I've got to love this person. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. So when our heart is in Christ, we are secure in knowing who God has created us to be. When you read about Jesus' journey in Luke chapter 4 of going into the desert for a time of fasting and prayer, you find that he was immediately tempted by the devil. The devil came and tempted him. You read about it three times. And what is the devil going after? Going after his identity, saying, if you are the Son of God. And that's the thing. The devil is continuously coming after our identity, trying to tear us down. As men, he's constantly trying to emasculate us. As women, he's trying to dive into your self-worth and believing and standing secure in knowing who God has created us to be. So how does this translate into the concept of the family? In the immediate family, they know who you are. They understand how you operate. They know what makes you tick. Your children, they know your heart. They know what's going on. You can have those open dialogues. In our extended family, sometimes they might not necessarily know all of the details, but say if it's the grandparents and their children, or you're there with your parents, you know, they remember the things from the childhood. So for example, when I recently was in Newfoundland with my sister and my parents, my sister has special needs, and I instantly everything came back to me because she's still mentally a 7-year-old child. And I remembered right away, okay, these are the things that set her off. And I knew what to do, what not to do. If I want her to really like me, I bring her gifts. If I don't want her to like me, I don't give her anything. If I need space, I just walk away. Right? So it's those things that just suddenly come back to your remembrance. In the greater family, it's often based on what you've heard from other family members. So, you know, maybe you've heard something from your aunt, or you've heard something from a grandparent or something about what's going on in the family. Or perhaps you've looked at Facebook and you've seen what's happening in the family. It helps you to continue to stay connected. So at least when you get together at the family reunion, you're able to have those surface conversations because you have an idea of what's going on. So how does that relate to us in our church world? Well, we have our immediate family. Those are those individuals that get to know us in a more intimate way. They are able to speak directly into your life. So, for example, I have a very close relationship, I believe, with our leadership council. They are able to be very blunt with me if they see something going on, and they're able to speak into my life. In our life groups, we learn more about the individual, and we gain understanding, which can be from there moved into those one-on-ones. So in my men's group, if they see something, any of the guys there are able to call me up, or they might say, hey, Chad, can we get together for coffee? And one-on-one, we're able to talk a lot more openly than we would necessarily if we're in the group atmosphere. And then in our church setting, this corporate setting, you're able to see how people will respond during worship, or from what you've learned about other people in the church. In these situations, you can often kind of get an idea of what might be going on in that person's life. So this is us as a church growing together. So the second outcome we experience is knowing how to recognize and then respond to God's voice. So what does that mean? Well, we talked about this last week, that it involves becoming a better listener. We know the voice of our shepherd. So taking that into the family life, they know you. The immediate family, they know. When a child suddenly hears that tone or that voice, you know, mom all of a sudden says, one, two, and all of a sudden it's quiet and they're gone. And I stopped a parent one time. I said, what happens when you get to three? They said, I don't know. I've never had to get there. But soon as you hear that voice, you know, right? You know that, kids, you know that voice? My kids know that voice. Soon as I turn it on, they know, oh, dad means business, right? And the thing is that when you get together, so taking that into the extended family, it comes back from childhood. And I might be together with my parents and my grandkids are there, and all of a sudden my mom might make this sound and my kids are looking there and they're kind of a little perplexed because they see me running and it's like, what's going on? Did I miss something? You know, as soon as you hear that voice, you know something is up and you need to go. And it just all comes back to you. It's taken the time to recognize and to know that voice. And then you have the greater family. The voice may not be recognized, but have you ever walked into the room and it's like crickets? It's like, oh, did I walk in on something? It's really awkward in here right now. You ever been part of one of those? You walk in, it's like, can I just leave again? No, it's okay, just come on in, and the conversation ends. So many people are continuously fighting for our attention. Are you able to just tune out all of the voices and simply listen to what God is saying to you? Can you just do that? Peace, be still. There are times even during corporate worship when I'm singing and God is trying to speak and I have to stop, bring my hands down, and just, I know that God is speaking into my heart and I can't keep pushing it out. I have to stop and listen. It's not because I'm not liking the song. It's not like, oh, I've suddenly checked out. It's like, God, you're speaking to me right now, and I just need to listen to your voice. The art of listening involves stopping, taking a break, and listening. We have distractions all around us. My day usually starts at about 5 a.m. I get up because it's quiet in the house. I have my coffee. I get my Bible, I get my journal, and I go and I have some quiet time with God. No distractions. My kids know, my wife knows that if they see me there, don't interrupt Dad. He's not ready to engage in conversation. He's just taken some time to have that quiet time with God. And that is so important. It's important for every single one of us. So whatever time of the day that is for you, for me, I need to do it first thing in the morning. I'm fresh. I'm alert. I'm a morning person. I'm ready to go at 5 a.m. Some of you might be ready to go at 9 p.m. at night. Right, Jacob? Wherever you are? Amen. Jacob and I could not hang out because at 2 o'clock in the morning, I can't even speak. We could do lunch. There we go. But as a church, it's so cool when everybody is listening to the voice of the shepherd, knowing his voice, recognizing his voice, and responding to his voice. In the recognition process, we're often still learning. You know, just like a teenager or an adult, when they first get their license, they're given an L sticker. And they put it on the back of their vehicle. It indicates that they're learning. They're learning how to drive. So the hope is that the person that's coming up behind them is having a little bit of extra grace for that individual because they've got that L sticker, right? And the same thing is true for us. We are all continuing to learn. The enemy wants to take that L sticker and put it right here and indicating like a loser. But the thing is that we are learning. We're learning and we're recognizing God's voice. And there comes a time where it's time to take the L sticker off and we put on the N sticker. We're graduating. We're continuing to grow. We know God's voice. We're following his voice and we continue to move in that direction. A few years ago, Pastor Dave did a teaching here on hearing from God. The question I have for you is, how are you doing in applying that teaching? Are you ready to graduate from that L sticker to the N sticker? To the no sticker, where you're simply walking and listening to God at all times. Remember, what is God saying and what are you going to do about it? And then the third outcome we experience is allowing God's voice to challenge us, to refine us. What does it mean as disciples of Christ to be challenged and refined by God? It means that we allow those things that are hidden under to come to the surface. We listen to what God is asking us to do. We take action, and then we stand secure, knowing that God is working things together for our good. It means taking those secrets, exposing them so that healing can take place. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago how on my most recent trip to Newfoundland, how I had to go and I had to deal with some things from my childhood. Secrets had to be exposed in order for that healing to take place. I was robbing myself of the blessings that God wanted to pour out because I was continuing to hold on to things. A number of years ago, I was made aware of a secret which an individual had been keeping from me. The thing is that that secret had been eating at this individual for years, and it prevented them from being able to have that full relationship with me that they wanted to have. And as such, I was robbed. Once the secret was revealed, yes, it was a shock, but because of this secret being revealed, it has drastically changed the relationship today to the point where I think I've thought about it many times. Had I known about this 20, 30 years ago, this could have changed a lot of things. However, I can't sing my shoulda, coulda, wouldas. I live today. You live today. We don't live in the past. This is where we're at. This is where God has called us. We move forward. God doesn't call us to walk behind and to try and go back and fix it. This is where we are. We deal with where God has placed. We live where we are right now. There are times, though, when we need to own up to our own stuff. We think we're keeping it hidden, but God knows. Luke 12:2 says, "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known." Ecclesiastes 12:14, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether it's good or bad. How does this impact the family setting? Well, in the immediate family setting, that's your safe place. In those close accountability type relationships, in your Christian circle, those are the safe places. We are family. In the extended family, you might share a few more details. In my life group, we have individuals who will share a little bit more about what they're going through. They don't get into the nitty-gritty, but we get an understanding of what's going on, so we know how to come alongside. We know how to support. We know things that we can watch for. In our greater family, the church, there might be a broad overview, but the focus is on the work of Christ. What is the gospel message that is being shared through your story? God isn't calling us to focus on what happened. God is calling us to focus on the gospel message through our story. The grace, the healing, the work that's being done through our story. So we don't need to go and dredge up all of the things of the past in order to deal with it, but we look at it and say, God, what are you teaching me? What is there to learn? Where is the gospel in this story? So how does all of this speak to us as a family, as a church, in regards to hearing from God? God speaks to his church. He speaks individually, and he speaks corporately. If ever during the service, God is giving you a word for another individual, I want to encourage you, go to that individual. Let them know what God has been speaking to you about. And then it's up to them to take that word and to discern that word and say, God, is this from you? And they will know. In regards to the church as a body, if you believe that you have a word for the church to be shared, come, let me know. Let Pastor Trevor know. We want to be able to facilitate that, to make sure that this gets spoken out to the entire church. This is Holy Spirit at work. We are a Pentecostal church. Do you believe that the spiritual gifts are still alive and active? Do you believe that God still speaks to us? Do you believe that God still does miracles today? He does healings today? Amen. God is at work. The spiritual gifts should be at work in our church. I believe that God is speaking to us. We are a family. Do you believe that? Why don't you stand with me? And Father, we thank you that we are a family. We are a part of the family of God. Our bloodline is Jesus Christ. And we thank you this morning for his shed blood so that we could have life. Not just a mediocre life, but a life abundant in you. So, Father, I thank you for the work that you have done in the people here today. I thank you for the words that you have spoken, and I pray that they would take those words and that they would use them and that they would put them into action. I thank you for how you're going to continue to use us and how you're going to continue to speak into our lives. And Father, now as we go out into this field as a family, it's kind of like a family reunion. We're going to have a great time this afternoon of celebrating what you're doing, enjoying some great food, having some laughter together. I pray for your protection upon each and every one of us, that we would be safe on the field, that you would watch over us, that you would put a hedge of protection around us. And as people are walking down the street, that they would know that they too can be a part of this family, and we would just invite them in to come, have a hot dog, have a hamburger, enjoy some great time with the family. So God, I pray your blessing upon each person. I pray that you continue to watch over them, minister to them, and that we would have a great time celebrating all that you are doing in and through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.